Testing, one, two, three. Testing, one, two, three.
We'll call the meeting to order. We'll start off with a prayer, pledge of allegiance. Father God, thank you for this wonderful day that you have provided for us, and we ask that you continue to give us this wonderful fall weather. And we ask that you be with this council tonight through our decision making, and help us guide us through it with wise decisions. We also thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon this community and the citizens. And this we pray in your name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Eugene is still out. We'll need a motion to excuse Eugene.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
The first, the second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Excused absence. Okay. This time now is for any citizen input. We got any citizens that would like to speak to the council on any subject. We'll provide up to 5 minutes. Okay, hearing none, we'll go on to the approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion for the approval of the agenda?
We'll make that motion.
Second.
First, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So passed. Consent agenda. We have a motion on the consent agenda.
Make the motion.
Second.
First, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So we'll go on to 4.1. Public hearing. Revenue source. Okay. Please bear with us as we progress through the legal and technical aspects of the public hearing. This public hearing is now open at 7:03 p.m. and is being held to receive a staff report and receive public comments on the revenue sources for the 2015 budget. This public hearing is required by state law. I will now ask the staff to report.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. We're well into our budget process by now. This is October, and our goal is to ultimately pass our budget by the end of November. Tonight on the agenda, we have a review of the revenues that we're expecting for the new year. And I've prepared a spreadsheet here that goes over the main revenues that we receive every year and the funds that those revenues are received into. I had a couple of things that I was going to highlight here. First of all, we're just looking tonight at the general fund, the street fund, the water, sewer, and solid waste funds, which are our enterprise funds. And then we have tourism, REIT, and utility taxes that have some unique properties to those. With our general fund, maybe I should back up before I talk about specific revenues. All of our revenues are based on a couple different things. They're based on past history. They're based on what we think that the state of Washington is doing as far as laws coming out of Olympia. And there are a bunch of different resources that we can use. The Municipal Research and Services Center puts together a booklet that we can follow that helps us give projections. When we're building the revenue projections, there's kind of a tricky balance between wanting to project our revenues as high as we can, because that means that we have more money to invest in our community, but then we don't want to project them too high to overshoot them and then have to come back later in the year and say, well, oh my gosh, when we projected that we were going to receive 2.4 and we're only going to receive 2.3 million in tax revenues for the general fund. So what the city of Othello has done in the past is picked a line right in between those two ideas of showing revenues at the max and revenues conservatively. We've picked something that's just about in the middle of those two ideas. And that served us pretty well for the last number of years, and hopefully they continue to serve us well into the future. With the general fund, we have a few things up here. The taxes in the general fund, there are we're estimating about $1.5 million in property tax revenues this year. And you can see that's the biggest portion of the tax revenue here in the general fund with property taxes. The other big portion of tax revenue that comes into the general fund is actually from the end fund down here, the utility tax fund. We're estimating we'll receive a little over $1.4 million in our utility tax fund. And per our municipal code, we automatically transfer 50% of these revenues into our general fund. So that's about $700,000 this year. And so $1.5 million for property taxes and about $700,000, that's $2.1 million of our taxes into the general fund here. That's the bulk of that source of revenue there. Then we have other things that we do as well, licenses, permits, some intergovernmental, a few other things here. With our street fund, we have the sales taxes are the biggest source of revenue for our street fund, and that's the $650,000 here, $650,000 figure here. Sales taxes, when they come into the city, we split them 50-50 between the general fund and the street fund. This is the thing that there was some issue over a few years ago where we didn't do a true 50-50 split. We had a budgeted figure going into the street fund. Then every year as sales taxes increased, the breakup that was once 50-50 was starting to go 52, 48, 55, 45, and it started getting away from the true 50-50. We were able to make up for that with other monies going towards street projects. So anyway, our sales taxes get split 50-50 between the general fund and the street fund. So that's our $650,000 here, and then comes over here to the general fund. Because I had a couple other things. Oh, further moving down the street fund, you can see intergovernmental. So it's almost $2.5 million in taxes or in revenues here. This is grant money, and this is the TIB money that we're receiving for our First Avenue and 14th Avenue projects. So both of those together, we have a match that we make to those, a 10% and 20% match, respectively. These are the dollars that we were granted, and this is not a loan, so that's the good kind of money. then we come down. We have the water, sewer, solid waste funds. These are enterprise funds, and an enterprise fund is supposed to act like a business, not one that earns a profit, but one that covers its own expenses. So the rates in our water fund are structured so that they cover the expenses of the city providing the water utility for the city. And the same with the sewer fund and the solid waste fund. Tonight we're going to be coming, the very last item of the agenda is looking at the solid waste rates that haven't changed since 2006. We're coming back tonight with an ordinance to build something into that rate schedule that'll allow the solid waste fund to continue to take care of its own expenses. And I built charges for services down here. And I built this projected revenue based on the conversations that we've had with the 5% increase for solid waste. The tourism funds, those are what we use for the organizations that promote tourism within the city. Real estate excise tax dollars, those are funds that we haven't tapped for a while. Those are funds that can be used for various different things. The state law gives maybe 12 or 14 different things that those dollars can be used for. Things that are included in our capital facility plan, but streets, sidewalks, lighting, parks, and some other things. Then we have our utility tax fund. Our utility tax dollars are really a general fund function. If you look on our annual financial statements, you won't even see a utility tax fund by itself. It gets rolled up into the general fund for reporting purposes. As far as the state is concerned, that's a general fund activity. Here at the local level, we break it out, though, so we can monitor the use and it just makes it a little bit easier to see what we're doing with those dollars. 50% of these dollars, like I said, get automatically transferred to the general fund, and the remaining dollars are here available for capital projects of the city. So those are some of the main beats that I wanted to talk you through tonight. If that's really kind of it, unless you have any other questions, or we can
get some questions in a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. I will now ask for public testimony questions or objections to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hand so I may recognize you. After I acknowledge you, please stand and state your name and address for the record. I will allow up to 5 minutes for each citizen. Does anybody wish to speak to it? Okay. Not hearing that, we will proceed on. Do any council members have any questions or comments at this time? Okay, with that, we will close the public hearing at 7:12 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Go on to 4.2, Public Works Trust Fund Amendment. Spencer?
That one is also me. The city has five different long-term debts that we make payments on. After this year, we'll just have four. 2014 is the last year of one of our debts, the one associated with State Route 24. So after this year, we'll have two public work trust fund loans that we'll be making payments on, and two general obligation bonds that we'll be making payments on. We recently got a letter from the Public Works Trust Fund board where they were requesting that we move our annual payment date up a month for our annual payments that we make to them. Right now, we make a payment to them on July 1st of every year, and they want us to change that for their fiscal reasons up to June 1st, just 1 month earlier. This is something that we don't have to do. It's completely our option. When I was thinking through this, I came up with two big things to consider. One was, is this going to affect our cash flows? And so we have two public work trust fund loans that we're paying on. One is for well 7, about $140,000 a year. And 2016 is the last payment year for that loan. So that we just have two more payments on that one, and it's done. So there's really not. That won't have a big effect on us. The other payment that we make is for Broadway Avenue. It's a loan that goes out to 2026, and it's about $30,000 a year that we pay out of the street fund. And here, because it's a low dollar amount, we're only paying it about a month earlier. I don't really see that we're going to have a cash flow. That this would create a cash flow problem to move this payment up 1 month. The other thing that I was thinking about is if we can go along with the Public Works Trust Fund Board with this, it might show them that we can play nicely in the sandbox, and so we don't have a little black mark next to our name in the future when we want future projects. I don't know if that would happen, but that was the only other thing that I could think of. So from where I sit, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't be able to do this. And it's the recommendation of staff that you as council allow the mayor to sign this amendment to these two contracts, allowing us to move our annual payment date from July 1st to June 1st of each year.
Anybody have any questions for Spencer? You've already got these budgeted anyway, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's budgeted in the annual budget, so it doesn't matter what month we're paying them in?
You know, sometimes...
Are you waiting for revenue to be created to pay the bill?
No, not for these. Sometimes that is the case.
Okay.
But
in this case, it's not?
No. Well, the big one is coming out of the water fund, and the smaller one, $30,000, is coming out of our street fund, but it's just $30,000. Compared to the street fund, I don't see that creating a cash flow problem.
Okay. Do we need a motion for each one of the contracts, all seven, or a motion will cover both?
One motion should cover both.
Okay. With that, we need a motion to authorize the mayor to sign the agreement to each of these public works trust fund loans.
I'll make that. I'll second.
We've got a first and we've got a second. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. So passed.
Thank you.
Okay. Appoint Pat Simmons to the Othello Planning Commission. Larry McCourty has resigned his position on the commission. Pat Simmons has agreed to be appointed to the vacancy. This is a six-year term, and Mr. Simmons will fill the unexpired term to December 31st, 2014. Mayor Logan made the appointment, and it needs to be confirmed by council. So a motion for the confirming of Pat Simmons to the Planning Commission.
Make that motion.
We got a motion?
Second.
We got a second on the motion? All in favor of the confirmation?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. 4.4, eCivics grant. Wait.
Mayor, Council, one of the things I did when I got here was look and see if we had some opportunities to get grants. And there are some out there. But as we started researching it, as I had Jennifer start researching it, she kept running to dead ends and finding grants that weren't really applicable to us and spent a whole lot of time and effort. We came across this eCivics grant network that basically will take our desires for grants, for instance, in public works like sewer, water, and parks, and you know, name whatever we want to get into, we'll give them our criteria. In other words, we're this community of 7,600 people, this kind of population base, this kind of income base, you know, all those things that make up our community. And then they'll take all that and plug that into their system and say, okay, you're eligible for this grant in sewer, for instance, or this grant in parks. And then they will help us through that process. And they won't write the grant for us. Tell us where to go to help get help with that if we need it. It's about a $2,500 a year proposition. Catherine has looked at the contract. There's some questions I need to ask him on the contract. There's also, I had him send me a list, which I haven't, he was supposed to send me a list of people who had this before. I had not gotten that yet for today. So instead of approving this, what I'd like for you, the council, to do instead is giving consensus that they want to continue to pursue this, and I'll bring it to council next time with the right information and with a better contract. So, questions? And also, Ken, you had something else?
Yes. Also, the Adams County Development Council is, we pay for like a subscription to Grant Station, and that is available for all participating members and of the Adams County Development Council, which the city of Othello could do. I can try to get the information forwarded to you on the grant station to see what it is like. And I don't think it's as detailed as what this group could get in to do for you. I think it's more of just a listing of all the different grants that are available.
We can do that ourselves. Yeah. But what I'd like to do is also bump that up against eCivics as well. So just like to get a sense from the council, they want to pursue this anymore or let it drop?
No, it sounds great.
I've got a question. Doesn't Grant Osborne do a lot of that for us, too?
They do a lot of the engineering piece on that, or some of the stuff. You're correct. What this does is instead of letting Grant Osborne go out and cherry pick some of the grants per se, if we have something we're interested in, for instance, we ran into dead ends on the farmers market, and we're still pursuing some of that, or some other park thing, they might not pursue it for us. But that's a good question. And I consider that when I look at this. So I think we can get more of what focused on what we want to do by doing this, some things that will help enhance the city. Maybe there's a grant for a civic center, for instance, or maybe there's a grant for, you know, name the project that maybe one of you all are interested in. They would then be able to drill down into the right source, and instead of coming up with a dry hole, we come up with a producing well, so to speak. So
that might be one thing we bring up with Grant Osborne, too, is doesn't seem like they've been doing as much of it lately. I know they're real busy and stuff, but I mean, it helps them out, too, you know, because they're getting paid. So it's in their interest to do it also. But I'm in favor of this. It's
okay. I'll continue to look at it then if the council agrees. And we'll hopefully bring something to you next council meeting. Decision one way or the other. Okay?
Okay. That'd be great. Okay, we'll go on to 4.5, Sewer Funding Coalition. Wade.
And I brought this up last time for you guys to consider, to think about, chew on, see if you have any questions for me before we approve the $1,500 to support this coalition. To refresh your memory, this is a coalition that will hopefully help pressure the legislature through both our own pushing as well as using someone there, you know, a lobbyist to help. And this money will help pay for the lobbyists, help pay for that effort. So any other questions on that? And if not, I would ask you guys to.
That's a great idea. Any help we can get on grant funding is, I think, well worth it.
Sewer project.
Especially for the amount that it is. It's right. A very minimal amount.
Okay.
If there's no further comment, we need a motion to approve the $1,500 to join the sewer funding coalition.
I'll make that motion.
And a first, we've got a second. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any opposed?
So passed.
Request for proposals for hearing examiner. Wait.
Yes. The hearing examiner we have now has been doing an okay job, but we think we can get perhaps a better bang for the buck. So we'd like to ask council for approval to go out and for request for proposals for a different hearing examiner. And that's the bottom line on this.
When was the last time we went out for a request on that hearing
examiner? Last hearing examiner, I believe it's been several years. David, you remember? Quite a while.
Okay. Okay, so it's way past time.
Way past time, yes, exactly.
Okay. That we need to make a motion to approve the staff to proceed for a request for proposals for hearing examiner.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
No, first, we've got a second on the motion. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so passed. Request for proposals for engineering services.
Same situation here. Pretty much we have not gone out for request for proposal in quite a number of years. And I know the state auditor has pretty much said we need to go out for proposals for this very important service. So I've already informed Grant Osborne and Larry Julius that we're perhaps going to do this with the approval of council. So I would ask that council approve us going forward with a request proposal for new engineering services.
Could part of that request for proposals be something like Mark mentioned, maybe a history of grant?
Oh, it's part of the
grant, yeah.
Good question, yeah. A good
grant
idea.
Grant history.
Yeah, in fact, what I would ask for, if you guys approve it, is to send me what the kind of stuff you guys would like to see in an engineering firm, based on your experience here in town with the one we have. So that would be really good to have that suggestion as well as others.
What type of services are you going to be evaluating? What is the key items you're looking at
from the engineering group?
Well, it's a service that Great Island provides us now. Anything we have done here, they engineered from Main Street to the 14th Street project to the Main Street project that we've, that's going on now.
I guess what I'm saying is, it's a professional service provided.
Yes.
So are you going to be looking at hourly rates? What are you looking for in a proposal from an engineering company?
Well, as Wade indicated, you're looking for a description of what services in an engineering firm and what qualifications you're interested in, and then you'll solicit proposals based upon that RFP. The way the process works by statute is you're not really allowed to consider the financial impact until after you've selected the most qualified, and then you can move to negotiate the cost and the fee with the firm that you've selected. So it's a qualifications-based process first before you evaluate the cost.
So we'll do, John, let's look at the last one we went out for, and I've got that folder on my desk, and see what qualification we put in there, and then add or subtract from that. And that's why I would like to get y'all's input as far as what you'd like to see in addition. Maybe it's already in there.
Okay, so do you do that? Are you going to be doing that on every individual project?
No.
A request for a proposal?
This is for... Great Island is our, quote, city engineer. We don't have a full-time city engineer.
Right.
So they are our city engineer that does engineering on pretty much everything we do. And so we're looking for a new city engineer firm.
Okay.
Until such time that we grow enough to hire our own city engineer.
So is that price, that contract, is there a certain price to it per year or dependent on what he does for us?
It's pretty much dependent on what he does for us, and I'm not sure what I don't think it's a cap or something. It depends on the project. This year we spent, what did we figure, almost $242,000, and we're not done yet. Okay? So we want to make sure we're getting the best bang for that $250,000 we're spending.
This is something that the auditor's office, like, requested us to do every 5 years now, at least.
Right, that's right.
I don't remember them giving us a specific number of years, but they suggested that we go out again, first of all, because we haven't done it in so long, just to make sure that we're getting the best bang for our buck, really. And just shopping around occasionally, every couple of years, it's a good idea to shop around.
I believe last time we went through this process, we had a council committee that was involved in the selection. I believe you were part of that.
Oh. We will get you all involved.
It would be nice if they...
We will make this work in the back. Yeah, absolutely. So once I start the process, I'll ask for the mayor to facilitate the point that the council put him to do that.
So you're going to go out and seek requests for qualifications first, get a list of qualified engineering firms, and then you will then evaluate costs. Once you get qualifications?
We'll evaluate the qualifications, see who's the most qualified.
Okay.
Okay, and then talk about cost.
Okay.
All right, and again, not me per se, but myself and the council committee.
So how far are we from getting our own engineer that works for us, for the city? What's the price difference?
That's a good question, Angel. The mayor and I have talked about that a bit. We're on the cusp, but I don't think we're quite there yet. We're close, though. It may be that we'll do this contract for 1 year at a time or 2 years at a time, and then evaluate next year or the year after. But we're pretty close, we think, to doing that. An engineer doing everything Great Island does right now would cost us a lot of money.
But each project that we do individually, the two grant projects we got coming up, there's like $250,000 worth of engineering costs in that $910,000 project, for that $910,000 project, moving the total up to $1.1 million for the project total. So every time they do a project, a capital project, repair something, they earn money. And you already have, do you have a budget for engineering services in the budget itself?
Yes. Yeah, in the different funds.
So basically you're budgeting how much per year for engineering services?
You know, right now, we have, Terry likes to have $30,000 in the general for park, and then the street, water, sewer, for each one of those funds. One of the differences, though...
$30,000 in each fund?
In each one, yeah.
So that's $90,000 total for the three funds you said?
Street, general, street, water, sewer, so that's four, one...
$120,000 roughly for engineering services?
Yeah.
For four funds?
That's only, John, that's only for smaller projects.
Right, understandable.
A lot of this grant money, part of that grant money will include engineering services.
I'm just trying to distinguish between what we're actually budgeting for, and we, you know, and if we hired an engineer, what his services would cover under the budget that we already have, versus him saying, okay, we got this big project, I'm gonna need help getting this project together, I need engineering services from a professional engineering group, and we bring somebody in, and they give us a bid to do the layout and everything else. So I'm just trying to get fixed in my mind, we have roughly $120,000 to work within the budget for an engineer.
Right. The other thing that we need to look at is when Larry Julius takes a project away from the city, he might have some other engineers work on a small piece of the project, or somebody with specialized software, or, I don't know, other engineering resources that they have.
Right, through their group.
Right.
Through their company, yes.
So those could be other costs that we see as we're just paying Gray and Osborne as though they're one person, but if we had those services ourselves, then, you know, our one engineer might not be able to do everything.
No, he's gonna need help from a professional engineering service, but...
You're saying, those $120,000...
Yep.
Why not hire our own guy or gal, maybe a little bit less than that? I don't know what the market is. I'm going to a board meeting with WCIA on Friday, and one of my things is, a lot of the city managers, I'm gonna sort of ask around and see what they're doing, and hope to come back with some more information, but...
This is something to kick around, Wade, you know?
And definitely, like I said, the mayor and I have already kicked it around, and this is a good discussion, because we're at that point where we really need to talk about it, because we're there, you know, we're almost there.
There's a lot of things he could be doing as a representative of the community with ownership.
Sure.
To the community. Right now, we don't have ownership, we have another organization that's working for the community.
Yes, we do.
You need somebody under your control.
Yes, we do. Yeah, good idea. So I think at this point, we just need to proceed forward with evaluating firms to see what they have to offer, and then perhaps look at that as part of the process.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Any further questions for Wick? With that, we need a motion to proceed with a request for proposals for engineering services.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
First, we got a second. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any opposed? So passed. 4.8, ordinance amending a fellow municipal code, chapter 11.5, titled Right-of-Way Permits.
Okay, it's 9-2.
Okay.
As you guys remember from the, I forgot to change the date on this board doc, but back on September 22nd, we had this discussion about right-of-way permits and doing an exception for home delivery of home appliances by 18-wheelers type vehicles, and Catherine made an excellent suggestion that we continue to let them do that, but have them get a permit, because as I explained to you, Terry is very concerned about someone doing work in our right-of-way causing damage and not having a handle on who did it. So by doing a permit without a fee for homeowners who are having home appliances delivered, we thought we could strike a compromise, still serve our constituents, our citizens out there, and still make sure that the city is protected. And so that ordinance has been written, you can see it like I was reading to you, it's right there. And so now we're bringing the amended ordinance to council for decision.
Now, this is just basically pertaining to a lot of the rigs that have the portable forklifts on them that have to unhook and operate around on the street.
Same thing, but again, it's just for home appliances. If you're getting a bunch of building supplies delivered for some big project, it don't apply, okay? Because the chances of causing damage are increased greatly. And so this is only for appliances, stoves, refrigerators, washer, dryer, that sort of thing. That pull up, offload forklift, offload the thing, forklift back on the truck, boom, gone, out of there. So 30 minutes, we also put a 30-minute time on it, so.
So we're just doing the fee exemption. They still have to follow all the other provisions within the permit?
That's correct.
Okay.
How about like somebody delivering sod?
Nope, I pay for it. Now, if you guys want to add that in, we can.
It's like your lumber companies that are delivering lumber, most of them have a hatcher, so, I mean, you can, I think we stick to the plan, to the furniture.
Yep, appliances, yeah.
Yeah, appliances, yeah, if not.
So why would we make an exception? Somebody that's selling sod, they bring one pallet. This person over here, he's bringing 10 pallets, maybe more. Washer, dryer, there's two. Then you got a refrigerator, there's three. He's more on that street than this guy delivering one pallet of sod. Yeah, he could be delivering more pallets of sod, but to me, it's the same thing.
Right now, today, we're not faced with a situation where a sod company is charging a fee to the consumer of the sod, where we are being faced with consumers being charged for delivery of home appliances and the way they're being conducted.
That's because we're requiring that they get a permit. So these people delivering sod must not be getting a permit.
But they're not going to have to pay for the permit. It's exempt.
Not according to
the rules.
But I don't know. I mean, is there a sod company that's delivering that is charging a consumer within the city of Othello to pay the permit fee for them?
No, because they're not getting a permit.
Yeah, they're not getting a permit to start with, I don't think.
If we catch them delivering without permit, we'll have to, issue them a ticket.
See, that's what we talked about the last time. It can get big because, you're charging these guys over here, but then, like you said, Mark, you got the guys with the sod and the guys delivering the trusses and the guys delivering the lumber. They don't have to pay for it, so it can blow up on us.
Well, they're supposed to pay for it. And if they get caught not paying for it, then...
Yeah, they better have a building permit, and they better be... operating under their building permit and all the,
well, the building permit
ordinances that pertain to the construction of a home, if they're delivering trusses and things like that.
Well, are we saying?
We're talking about home appliances that are purchased at a retail store being delivered to a home and a fee being charged to the consumer.
That's why we're
by the city
about
of Othello.
That was the reason right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's being charged back to the consumer, who is an Othello citizen that's having to foot the bill.
Basically came about because there's an out-of-town provider that's delivering in town, and they're basically, instead of paying for the fee to deliver for the permit, they're making the homeowners go and get that permit.
So it's up to you guys.
Look, I'll face the motion. I'll face the guy that's delivering the sod when he delivers and he gets charged for it. I'll face that when that time comes. But right now, this moment, we have an issue with delivery of retail items to consumers within Othello being charged a fee, a permit fee, and I want to address that.
But those people have the choice of going to a different store. They could go to Home Depot instead of Lowe's. And
well, if you buy an appliance from Home Depot, you better take your pickup up there and buy it, because the delivery that's going to come from Home Depot, whether it's the Tri-Cities or Moses Lake, is going to be delivered in a semi. And you're going to have to pay a permit fee to the city of Othello before you can even get a delivery.
So is it with a lift gate or with a forklift? Or both?
Well, I think the issue was it was an 18-wheeler that was pulling up with the forklift, with one of those forklifts that's attached to the back
to
offload.
They use a six-wheeler, I guess, a single-axle van with a lift gate.
Lowe's does.
Not Home Depot.
Not Home Depot.
Lowe's does.
Lowe's does. Okay, well, I got it backwards then.
Yeah, yeah.
So then they have the choice of going to Lowe's to buy something instead of going to the other place where it's going to cost them more.
Yeah, you want to make that decision? You want to tell the public? You want to tell the public?
But you're wanting to make that decision right now.
Well, I'm saying that we're imposing a penalty
to people
in Othello. We're imposing that penalty against the people of Othello. Period. If you buy product, a retail product, from someone and have it delivered with a semi, an appliance, you have to pay a fee. I don't think that's right.
So why should I have to pay a fee if I get sod delivered to my house?
I'll deal with that issue when you have it.
Well, like I said, I didn't think it, I thought the whole issue was I didn't think the store should be charging it back to the consumers, but we can't change their policy. This is about the only way we had to deal with that, other than just leaving it as is, and if you go to that store, you have to pay for the fee.
Well, the store's charging the consumer just because it's a delivery. You can't deliver for free. So their delivery charge is not out of whack. For example, I'm getting a load out of Tri-Cities for $110.
They're still charging them to deliver, but they're also making them go down and pay for the fee for the permit.
Yeah, you buy the product at the store, then you have to go buy the fee, the permit fee, pay the permit fee and buy the permit, so that when he delivers, you have the permit there to receive your goods. So,
and I believe Wade contacted Home Depot.
Twice.
And they refused. They were just going to charge it back to the customer.
There's no fee for the six-wheeler truck that comes in?
It's just a semi? Normally, they're not blocking. They usually can get into a driveway.
And I see what Mark is saying. You're opening a whole can of worms because, then you're going to have a line of different places that want to deliver in town. That'll just say that, they're going to charge back to the customer, and then the consumers are going to be in here screaming.
And I don't think the local sod company that we have that's doing the delivering is even aware that there is a $40 fee. But they will be, my understanding, be made aware of it.
Well, it's after this event. It's
anybody's
delivery. Yeah, sure. Because if we have to buy the permit as a homeowner, then they have to be aware of it too.
Yep.
See, so it's a lot of, knowledge that we have to. Or letting them know that what's going on.
Yep. Just a quick question. This may be something that Spencer knows. When something is purchased like that at Home Depot and it is delivered to Othello, do we receive the sales tax off of that as a city, since the delivery is being made here?
We should, yeah. We should be point of delivery.
Okay. So we receive the sales tax from those items. Okay. With that, I need a motion to adopt the ordinance amending Othello Municipal Code Chapter 11.50 titled Right-of-Way Permits.
I'll make that motion.
Got a first on the motion. Do we have a second on the motion?
I'll second it.
Got a second on the motion. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
We got four, but there's two nays. Mark, nay?
Nay.
Nay?
Yea.
You were nay?
No.
Okay, you were yea. Okay, so it's 4-2, motion passes. Okay, 4.9, ordinance to create Tofilo Municipal Code 3.18, titled Police Department Crime Prevention Fund. Chief?
Mayor, ladies and gentlemen, I hope I make this a lot easier than that last one. What this does is this ordinance would establish a crime prevention fund. Currently, everything that we're doing is out of the general fund. So if someone were to give a donation and say that they want it to be used for a specific thing, it would be hard for us to actually earmark it for that. This would also allow us to go out and solicit donations for specific types of events that we would want to do, reserve program, police explorers, say a national night out or something like that. So this is a better bookkeeping method for us to help budgeting, so we keep those special things out of general fund, but also so that we can earmark funds. And we're looking for a motion to pass.
Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. Down here under funding, on D, it says any money that's received in the form of general law enforcement investigation grants, shouldn't that go into the investigative fund rather than the preventative fund?
No, sir. The drug fund is generally for drug investigations. The investigative fund is drug investigations. And I like to actually put most of our grants into the crime prevention fund, so that we're not mixing them into general fund whatsoever. So this is how I've done it historically, and I make me feel much more comfortable. Drug fund, the only thing, or investigative fund, think of it as drug fund, please. And that'll be drug, there'll be some drug nexus on everything that happens within that.
Any other questions? Okay, so we need a motion to approve Chapter 3.18, Police Department Crime Prevention Fund. That's right.
Make that motion.
Second.
A first and a second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so passed. 4.10, ordinance to create Oklahoma Municipal Code 3.20, titled Police Department Investigation Fund. Bill?
This is the other side of it. This would be the investigative or drug fund. This would be primarily drug seizures, profits from vehicle seizures, and if there was real property seizures. And if we were to see any kind of court assessments, you know, for any offenses that we made through a civil infraction, or if we had a criminal infraction where there was some drug assessment. A good example of this is we recently seized on a search warrant, some funds that we believe are tied into the drug nexus. We've served them a forfeiture notice on it. They now have 45 days to contest that. If at the end of that point they haven't contested it, that money becomes the city's money, but it needs to be used only for drug investigations or some nexus, you know, or tied to it. So we could easily argue that our bulletproof vest is going to be used for that if we're using it on that search warrant, but it wouldn't be for normal day-to-day business.
So if a person goes to court and he gets put on a deferred, and instead of paying the court, you contribute to the drug fund, that money goes to you?
Historically and traditionally in Sunnyside, we would actually use that. A DARE, you know, program and donation, the judge could do that on a deferral, but that would be up to the judge completely. But that this would be the appropriate place for that money to go.
Any other questions? Phil? With that, we need a motion to approve Chapter 8.20, Police Department Investigation Fund, as written.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Our first and second on the motion. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so passed. 4.11, ordinance to create Tofilo Municipal Code 8.02, titled Urinating in Public. Bill?
I apologize for bringing this one in front of the council, but I believe it's necessary. Our officers have indicated to me that it is necessary, as has our assistant chief. We don't have a law on the books that we could use to enforce against that. So there are other types of ordinances that we're going to bring in front of you, for example, some form of disorderly conduct for fighting in public, which currently there is no ordinance that would prohibit mutual combat between two people that agree to fight in public. Well, it, with a criminal code, which we don't have, we could ask for that. We'll have to ask for that as a civil infraction, and that is, again, how we're presenting this to council. We want a civil infraction, making it illegal to urinate in public.
And these aren't ones that are covered in the RCW set?
No, sir.
Currently, okay.
I just can't believe that there's nothing on the books.
Yeah. The closest under state law is indecent exposure.
Yeah.
Any other questions? With that, we need a motion to approve Chapter 8.02.
The penalty needs to be decided upon by the council, so right now you need to be thinking in your C schedule, you range from $15 up to $1,000, so you need to select an appropriate monetary penalty to attach to the violation.
And we would like to suggest 250. I believe that's a C9.
C7 would be 260.
There you go.
Okay.
C7?
Yep.
Okay. With that, we need to approve the Chapter 8.20, urinating in public, as written, with a penalty that carries a C7.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Our first and second on the motion. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, it's passed. It's now illegal. Okay. 4.12, ordinance repealing certain sections of Ocala Municipal Code 8. Phil, again, you got a list of 9 here?
And I would also welcome Catherine's input on this. Going through the municipal code, there were some codes that stood out to me and that I felt were unsupportable and unconstitutional. I approached Catherine with those. She pointed out a few others to me. What we have here is, I think, the beginnings of a list. As I believe we're going to find other issues that need to be tuned up throughout the municipal code. I'm getting through it as quick as I can. But these are specifically issues that are either unconstitutional or covered better in RCW.
The criminal code is being repealed because we have no criminal code, obviously. So that's a leftover. The ones that there are constitutional issues with are the picketing and the curfew hours and the parental responsibility. The firearms and the dangerous drugs and tobacco are all covered and preempted, actually, by state and federal laws. The destruction of library property, again, was a criminal violation, so we're repealing that. And the littering is covered under state law.
Are we going to make any reference to the RCWs and the areas of these in place of them, or are we just eliminating them completely?
There's no need to adopt state law by reference because the areas that we're repealing in, the state has preempted, so the state law is automatically applicable. The other areas, if there is a violation, the officers have the authority to cite under existing criminal law, so we wouldn't adopt that by reference either.
Didn't we just pass the curfew hours for juveniles and parental responsibility just not that long ago?
Parental responsibility was back in 2010. Mm-hmm. That was my question on that one. So we passed that one because of a large game problem we were having at that time.
And we've never enforced it. We basically, and I don't know if you recall the discussion at the council level at the time, but we did have a conversation about the constitutional issues and some of the experiences and litigation that some other communities have faced in enforcing their parental responsibility and juvenile curfew ordinances. And the decision at the time with your police department and council was that it gave the police department a tool to make contact with the juveniles, but not necessarily to proceed with any enforcement. So I don't know how much they used it as a mechanism to make that initial contact and have the conversation with the juvenile about their activities, or whether or not they used it at all. Perhaps the new chief knows more about the history with his staff.
My understanding is we've not used it, and it comes down to the constitutional concerns that we have with it and that they recognized with it. My suggestion is, I mean, with laws like this, there's too much room for abuse. When we start treading on the Constitution or stepping on that line, it becomes very dangerous, and I believe I'd rather look at other tools for this.
There's other avenues.
We can contact youth that we see walking, especially if it's at odd hours of the night. The officers, one of our goals is to train them to develop what's called Terry, which is reasonable suspicion, some way of articulating why that kid should not be walking down the street at 3 in the morning with a stereo under his arm. Those kind of things are defensible in court. This, and especially the parental responsibility where we're trying to hold someone else responsible for another person, is much more difficult to defend. And there's a lot of appellate court discussion and case law all over these two.
Okay, is there any other discussion in this list of ordinances? Do we need a motion on each individual?
No, these are all included in one ordinance.
With that, we need to have a motion to repeal the 9 ordinances as listed.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Got a first and second. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so carried.
Thank you. And what we would be putting in front of council that would actually be more useful in a lot of these cases, trying for rental housing programs, motel safety programs, those kind of things, I think, will be much more useful and defensible. So I think you can look forward to that as we get those put together.
Yeah, especially, like I said, at 8.64, the parental one, like that was brought up during when we had a gang problem, a quite heavy gang problem. And would like to see something that would help in that effort.
And my suggestion in targeting that is we actually indirectly approach it, and we go after, like, for example, crime for rental housing or nuisance property. And if we've got a gang member that's causing a lot of problems, he's living someplace, that person that's providing that sanctuary is supporting that behavior, and as far as I'm concerned, becoming part of the problem. So we then, you know, go after that, the housing situation, working with landlords, working with just abating that issue there. And I think what you see is that was very successful for us in Sunnyside. Whatever program we come up with now has to be a voluntary program, so it'll be structured somewhat differently. In 2010, some laws were passed that actually made it so that the state, you know, I think the Landlords Association across the state actually beat it to the legislature before we did, but they preempted it so that everything after 2010 had to be voluntary. So I've already approached a few of the property managers in town. They're supportive. So what we'll come up with is a voluntary program. We'll make it, you know, something that's inexpensive or free, and we'll get voluntary participation with most of our locations. Motels will approach differently, and that'll be some kind of motel safety type approach.
Thank you.
Thank you.
4.13, ordinance amending a Fulham Municipal Code, Chapter 6.08.109, titled Schedules and Rates. Spencer.
Thank you very much. Earlier this evening, I hinted at the solid waste ordinances that we were going to discuss a little later. At our last meeting, we discussed our solid waste rates, and we also discussed our rates during some different council committee meetings. The solid waste fund is one of those funds. It's an enterprise fund that needs to operate like a business. So we set rates that are that make its revenue sufficient to pay for its expenses. That's all we need to do there. when we're doing that, we also need to consider the effect on members of the community, and balancing those two things are really the key here. And those are the things that we talked about at our last meeting and at, in our other meetings. The last time we raised rates in our solid waste fund, the rate schedule was established in 2004, and it was for a three-year increase of 6%, 6%, 6% that was in place for 2005, 6, and 7. Tonight, I'm proposing a solid waste, a rate increase of 5% for the next three-year period starting December of 2014. So that'd be for 15, 16, and 17. And again, that rate is built with considering the needs of the fund and also the effect on the community. So it was built to be as little as possible while still taking care of its needs. The attached ordinance is to that effect, and right now it's up to you as a council.
Any questions for Spencer? Okay, if there's no further questions, do we have a motion to approve the three-year solid waste rate increase per the attached ordinance of 5% a year for the next 3 years?
Second.
Got a motion, first and second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Is there any unfinished business?
I don't know if this would be unfinished or finished, but so we passed that ordinance here with the right-of-way. So does every time ProBuild delivers something, they have to get a permit, or does the city license cover that, business license?
ProBuild's not delivering with the semi, though. They've got a six-foot flatbed.
Yeah.
What if they're delivering, like, trusses or something?
Well, or IDs? They would have to get the permit, because those things are huge, and there's more likely a chance of them having property damage around where they're delivering. That's basically what they want it for, so that they know who's working in the area and what, in case anything's damaged.
It's about... And the ordinance has been on the books. This is just the exception you guys pass. There's always been an ordinance, not always, but for a long time, mm-hmm. an ordinance that says if you're working in the right of way, in this case, it's interpreted to mean you're delivering like building materials or whatever with a forklift, you're working in the city right of way, you have to get a permit. There was a couple months ago, there was a delivery being made by Home Depot when they were blocking right. the street. Remember that history?
Yeah.
So this came up, and so then we started requiring, which should have been all along, I suppose, anybody working on a forklift in a right of way to get a permit. Well, Home Depot was passing that back to people, to the citizens. Okay, because we live on 18-wheeler and in our right of way. And that's why we did this. So, I mean, it's up to you guys to decide what you want to do, but we're just responding to the.
We did decide tonight. Yeah. We passed it. So
but we're not
the next issue comes up when somebody comes in front of the council with an issue.
I'm bringing it up as an issue.
Okay.
As a council member, because we're not enforcing it for all these other people, but we're enforcing it for people who deliver appliances. But now we just passed it that we're not going to force it on them.
They still have to get a permit. It's just not going to be charged.
We're just going to waive the fee that they're charging back to the consumer.
Okay. See, I don't think it's about the fee. You know, as far as the code to go with it, you know, they have to cone the area. If you're going to have a hatch moving back and forth, it's about safety also. So, but there's a fee that goes with it. So, but who's going to be responsible for that? Well, my point is
permit.
We were only enforcing it on that one person, but we're not enforcing this code for all these other deliveries in town.
Well, and if they get caught not having a permit, then they've got to pay the fine, because there is a fine included in our ordinance for that, correct?
I don't know that for sure, but I'm sure there probably is.
If there isn't, there should be.
Yes, the enforcement piece, you know, if our code enforcement officer knows someone delivering without, and is using a forklift working on a right of way, then she will issue him a ticket. So, I mean, it's hard for one code enforcement officer, who's also in charge of taking care of stray dogs and multitude of other things.
Can a regular police officer enforce code violations?
Of course they can. So basically, they'll do the same.
So if he rolls up there and there's a guy delivering and he's blocking the street and not got cones out and he doesn't have an active permit?
Right.
Then he can write him a ticket. What is the civil penalty attached to the ordinance for that?
We're gonna find out.
But anybody making deliveries that's not parked out on the right of way doesn't have to get a permit. If they have a smaller vehicle that they can pull into the driveway and then it's not an issue. It's when they're blocking the streets and it all comes down to the safety on the street. And that's why they're required to get the permits.
If I had a delivery, a semi-delivery on my street in front of my house, there's usually plenty of room in front of my home, but if it was like 50 feet down from my house, there would be no way they could do it. They would be in the middle of the street making the delivery.
Right.
Because those people have like 10 cars and they're parked all along the street.
So there is no specific C penalty set forth for a violation of failing to obtain a street right-of-way permit. So you would by default go to chapter 1.20 of your municipal code, which then leaves the penalty amount up to the discretion of the citing officer, and that can be anywhere up to the maximum statutory amount of $5,000. So if you do not want to allow that type of discretion to the enforcement officials, then you should consider what appropriate C penalty would attach to that violation.
Yeah. Is that something we should follow through with on the next meeting?
We can have an ordinance for you to insert a C penalty, and if you know now what that would be, we'll draft it with that in mind. Otherwise, we'll just leave it blank and you can decide.
What do we have to work with? Well, you got a C7 is $260.
Yeah, you have in your C penalty schedule everything from $15 up to $1,000 in increments. So if you wanted roughly
$250, $40. At least double the if you didn't get the permit and you're caught, you should at least double the permit fee. So what would
give one the launch of that? Permit fee is $40, I believe.
Yeah. So could you form a motion to bring to the council?
We'll draft an ordinance. And maybe you wanna take some time to consider what the appropriate penalty would be. My recommendation would be that if you're talking about someone who has willfully failed to obtain a permit that's required by the city, that it be a penalty that is commensurate with the impact on the city. I don't think doubling a $40 permit fee is going to suffice in this instance to motivate people to come in and get their permits.
Well, most of them probably don't. Most people probably don't even know about it.
Yeah, and that's something where, you know, if the city has historically not been enforcing it or keeping the public educated, you may need to do some public education on that issue.
Would we do that through the paper or what?
Yeah.
Through our monthly billings, we have spaces on our monthly billings, don't we, that we could put that on our bills?
Yeah, you could use both.
But some of the people don't live in town.
Yes.
So maybe the like a warning the first time or something, or I mean, there's, I don't know, there's,
I think that would almost be probably at the officer. If they notice somebody that's doing it constantly and constantly
repeat offender
doing that and not getting a permit, I think. But like I say, granted, there might be a new company that comes in not aware of the fellow ordinance. A quick warning might be sufficient enough to let them know that a permit was required. But like I said, if you see something that's in there constantly, doing the same thing and has been warned about it, or does know. Bill would probably know.
And maybe you'd like to get some feedback from your public works director about what the experience has been with people not getting permits and whether they're repeat offenders or just not aware of the requirement or...
I'd also like to suggest that since we're not charging a fee and the application process is probably fairly simple, that we get a hold of those businesses that would be delivering, you know, Home Depot, Lowe's, Sears, any of the large appliance type companies, and just give them, you know, a fax number and, you know, a copy of the form so that they can just fax it into us if that would be acceptable. And it's going to meet the needs of what I think the ordinance is trying to do, but, you know, we're notified. We'd also want not to just go out and start writing a whole lot of tickets. We'd much prefer doing some kind of
education
campaign first.
Most of these companies that deliver are supposed to be purchasing a city business license, ain't they? So that's something that could be also, next time the rebills are sent out, which is the first of the year for the city business license, would be attached to all those companies that do business. Because that would be a good notice to hit all those companies that are out of town that are delivering when they renew their city business license.
And perhaps that's why we left it to the discretion of the officer. Like you said, if it's, you know, somebody that's doing it, you know, they get caught once, they get caught twice, and that fee should go up. And it has to be something that would deter them from doing it.
Okay.
I need a comment on that one. Officers don't use discretion to figure out what amount to charge. We truly do need you folks to tell us what amount to charge. Our officers don't play with the sliding scale.
So the thing in the ordinance about it being up to the discretion of the...
The discretion for us is whether to write the ticket or not. The scale, whether the law allows it or not, we need the ordinance. Otherwise, we'll send it into the court with a request for charges and let the court decide what that's going to be, and that's not going to work in this case. We'd much prefer that the council decide what that fee is going to be.
Okay. So I have no problem using the C7 again myself.
Okay. And the other option, if you're concerned about people not being aware of the requirement, is to do a, you know, first offense, second offense, and third and subsequent offense, where you ramp up the penalty. And that's where maybe it would be helpful to know from Terry what the history has been, because obviously somebody delivering in a, you know, sod, for instance, that has a temporary use of your street with minimal damage is going to be a different impact than someone who's actually doing work digging up your city street or something of that nature.
The permit is the same whether they're delivering or whether they're working
exactly
in the street.
So you may want to have a different penalty for different permit failures.
Council have any suggestions or ideals for Catherine so she can bring back a penalty phase for this?
I'm sure that Wade and Phil and I could get information from Terry enough to get something draft form before the council next meeting, and then you can work with it.
It'd be nice to know also if we have any other ordinances where they've left it up to the discretion of the officers so that we can correct that.
Okay. Any further old business? Any new business? Okay, Mayor's announcements. I'd like to remind everybody at the next council meeting on the 27th, the Transportation Benefit District meeting will start at 6:30, and then the council meeting will proceed after that at 7. So everybody needs to be here for that. And also, tomorrow night, Mark, is the fire council meeting at the county fire station.
7 o'clock.
What's that?
The fire council.
Biannual fire council meeting.
With the fire department. So just to go over, we meet 4 times a year with them to see how things are going with the fire department. They have any questions for us? Yes, just kind of like a...
Is it for all the council members?
We have a committee meeting.
Or is it a committee?
Me, Eugene, and Mark sat on that.
I don't think he's going to be here.
I don't think Eugene's there, so.
So if you wanted to go, you could.
Okay, it's tomorrow night at 7:00 at the county fire station.
All right.
Okay. Any other announcements?
Tomorrow night, the Xi Beta Xi Beta Group is having their annual auction. It's a silent auction with holiday items, and they have hors d'oeuvres and at the Eagles down here on, what is that, Second?
Larch and.
Larch and.
First,
okay. I believe it starts at 6:30, and they raise the money, all the money goes to the food bank for the season.
Okay. With that, meeting is adjourned.